Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. Welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James 5:16, and it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Precious and heavenly Father, once again, we come to you as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for waking us up this morning in our right minds, healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for providing us with all of our needs. We thank you for our neighbors. We thank you for our enemies. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our husbands and wives, Lord God. We thank you for grandparents. We thank you for everyone. And we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come again to give you the glory and the honor. We thank you for Block Talk Radio. We thank you for all of our listeners on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, however they listen to Block Talk Radio. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for the President of the United States and his family. We thank you for the Vice President and her family. We thank you for all of those in authorities and their families, Lord God. We ask that you open up their minds, their hearts, and their ears and eyes to see, hear, and to perceive what thus says the Lord. Lord God, we ask that you allow your will to be done, not our will, but your will be done in each and every one of our lives. And we ask this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, that one day we may have eternal life through him, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We thank you, we honor and adore you. We love you, Lord God, for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
What? what he's done for me.
You don't know.
Amen. Praise be to God. You don't know what he's done for me.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place. Simple song.
Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Oh, oh, oh.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Oh.
Amen. Praise be to God. Jehovah Elohim, in the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, you are featured prominently as the creator. From your creative mind came the concept. From your loving heart came the reality. From your mouth came the words that spoke the earth and the universe into existence. I stand on ground that you have spoken into being. I breathe air that you determined would enter my lungs and give life to the cells in my body. I honor and adore you for your creative power and genius. Lord, you are worthy of all my praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
The kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want
You're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read.
So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need.
He looks like you.
Devotional message, praise be to God, which is entitled Trust Me. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 46 verse 10 and the AMP Bible, and it says, let be still and know, recognize, and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Amen. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of His mighty word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is Trust Me, by relinquishing control into my hands. Let go and recognize that I am God. This is my world. I made it, and I control it. Yours is a responsive part in the literary of love. I search among my children for receptivity to me. Guard well this gift that I have planted in your heart. Nurture it with the light of my presence. When you bring me prayer requests, lay out your concerns before me. Speak to me candidly. Pour out your heart. Then thank me for the answers that I have set into motion long before you can discern the results. When your requests come to mind again, continue to thank me for the answers that are on the way. If you keep on starting your concerns, stating your concerns to me, you will live in a state of tension. When you thank me for how I am answering your prayers, your mindset becomes much more positive. Thankful prayers keep your focus on my presence and my promises. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. To God be the glory. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. If you would like to join us in our lesson this evening, you can dial that same number at 7 p.m. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
Oh,
Amen. Praise be to God. Jehovah Elohim, I confess I don't fully understand or grasp the true magnitude of all you have made. Everything is perfectly created so that we all live in a natural circle that sustains itself and produces life. But you are also intimately involved in your creation. You are not only Elohim, but also Jehovah. Forgive me for failing to honor you at the highest level due you. Forgive me for neglecting to show you the respect you deserve. Pardon my heart when it selfishly seeks to take credit for something you have created and planted in my own life, such as my skills, gifts, and talents. Jehovah Elohim, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Jehovah Elohim, thank you. Thank you for all you have created. Thank you for being mindful to put beauty in the midst of your creation. Thank you for being mindful to give me the ability to appreciate and enjoy what your hands have made. Every day is a gift from you. You send the rain to water the ground and restore life where it has become dry. You tell the stars where to hang in the sky and call the tide when it is time to rise. Thank you for being magnificent of who you are and for allowing me to glimpse even a fraction of that magnificence through your creation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
This means war. gotta say. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You gonna break out your craft, break out your word. You gonna break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, the majesty you have displayed in your creation reminds me that you are all-powerful. The details you have given to each species on earth reminds me how much you intimately care. You have created me as a relational being. And I desire to connect with your other children, Jehovah Elohim. Show me how to best glorify you as I love others because of my love for you. And open up my heart to receive love from others as a reflection of your love for me. I ask you to display your creative powers in me. Bring my gifts and treasures to full fruition according to the purpose for which you have given them to me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we're waiting, I will play another selection.
Thank you.
Bible by Bruce Wickinson, and at this time our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you. To God be the glory.
Amen.
And we're happy to be here another Wednesday evening with Talk to the Bible, and we will be continuing in 1 Corinthians today.
Amen.
So let's pray in. Oh, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we love you. We adore you, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord God, because you're sovereign, Lord God. You know all things, Lord God. You know everything there is to know about each and every one of us, Lord God. And we just thank you for loving us so much, Lord God, that you gave us your only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting, wonderful life with you, Lord God. When you're by our side, no matter what we go through, Lord God, you are right there. We just thank you for that. Lord God, we want to lift up Hilda's sister, Lord God, as she goes through her chemotherapy. And we just pray, Lord God, that the treatments, Lord God, that she will have to go through, Lord God, will be treatments to put her back into remission, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that she does able to tolerate the treatment, that she gets the treatment, Lord God, the chemotherapy and all the treatment that she needs, Lord God, so that it can eradicate the cancer from her ovaries, Lord God, and her uterus, Lord God. Lord God, we pray that you work with all the doctors, all the nurses, Lord God, and with her, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Help her, Lord God, to deal with what she's going through, Lord God, and have faith, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord God, because we know that you're already working for her. She is your child, Lord God, and you know every single part of her, Lord God. You know every part of her being, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord. So we thank you. Lord God, we just ask you to be in the midst of this lesson, Lord God, so that we would have ears to hear what it is that you want us to hear, Lord God.
Yes,
and we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. I receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So we are up to the key chapter in First Corinthians, and the key chapter is chapter 13. But what it says is that it's read at weddings and often the text for sermons. First Corinthians chapter 13 has won the hearts of people across the world as the best definition of love ever since. Standing in stark contrast to the idea that love is an emotion or that one can fall into or out of love. This chapter clearly reveals that true love is primarily an action. This is why when God so loved the world, he gave. So love is an action more, and it's really not an emotion. Right.
Amen.
It's an action, and we see that all of the time. You know, like you know, people emotionally, you know, they say they're in love, but then they'll do something to hurt you.
Yes.
Then you want to know, that doesn't feel like love to me.
No.
That does not hurt. No, I don't think that's love. That may be lust, but it's definitely not love.
Not love.
No. So let's read chapter 13 and see what love is supposed to look like.
Amen. Praise be to God. Love is the greatest. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessions, all knowledge, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrifice my body. I could boast about it. But if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even if the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture, but when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, beautiful chapter.
Love is everything. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Chapter 13.
Nice. So it goes on to say, Christ in 1 Corinthians. This book proclaims the relevance of Christ Jesus to every area of the believer's life.
Mm-hmm.
He became for us wisdom from God.
Amen.
And righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the themes Paul addresses in this epistle, Contribution to the Bible. This epistle is extremely practical in its thrust and its forces on basic social, moral, and spiritual issues. Unlike Romans, 1 Corinthians is not rhetorically elegant. It is plain, earnest, and unvarnished. The unusual simplicity and directness of this letter is appropriate to the practical content. The sentences are uncomplicated, and Paul forcefully amplifies his thoughts with abundant literary devices. Narrative, sarcasm, appeal. Although it is informal, 1 Corinthians makes several important contributions to the New Testament doctrine. This is particularly true of the doctrines of the church as an organism, the role of spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. No other epistle gives a better look at the problems and conditions in an apostolic church. Even though planted and nurtured by Paul himself, the Church of Corinth bristled with social, ethical, spiritual, and doctrine problems. This was a difficult letter for Paul to write, but his profound wisdom and insight dominate its pages and reveal the apostles' patient love and self-control. The wide variety of subjects discussed in this long epistle, only Romans is longer, easy to follow because of its logical and orderly development. So survey of 1 Corinthians. Through the missionary efforts of Paul and others, the church has been established in Corinth, but Paul finds it very difficult to keep Corinth out of the church. So the church has been established in Corinth, but Paul finds it difficult to keep Corinth out of the church.
Why?
What does that mean to you?
What were they doing that Paul couldn't keep them out of the church?
It was Corinth he couldn't keep out of the church. It's like the same saying that they used to say, you could take a person out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the person.
So
it's like no matter where they go, they're bringing themselves. Right? It's like sometimes, you know, people say they don't like this church and they don't like that church and they can't find a church that they like. And you'd be like, because you, maybe you're the problem. Maybe you can't.
Exactly.
You're the problem. So in other words, these people of Corinth, brought all of their bad behaviors into the church.
Yes, okay.
So that's why Paul had a difficult time keeping the Corinth, which is their bad behaviors, out of the church.
Yes.
So they brought them with them.
Everywhere they go, they bring their baggage.
So the pagan lifestyle of Corinth exerts a profound influence upon the Christians in that corrupt city. Law problems of every kind plague them. In this disciplinary letter, Paul is forced to exercise his apostolic authority as he deals firmly with problems of divisiveness, immorality, lawsuits, selfishness, abusers of the Lord's Supper and spiritual gifts, and denial of the resurrection.
Ooh, they were bad.
This epistle is quite orderly in its approach, as it sequentially addresses a group of problems that have come to Paul's attention. Paul also gives a series of perspectives on various questions and issues raised by the Corinthians in a letter. He uses introductory phrases like now, concerning, or now, to delineate the topic. So we see that in 7:1 and 7:25. Did you get those? 7:1 and verse 7:25, where he uses now concerning this and now concerning that. What does 7:1 say?
7:1 says, now, regarding the question you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. Really?
Okay.
Okay. This is instructions on Christian marriage. Okay. And 25 says, 25. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord, in his mercy, has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Amen.
Right. And so, I mean, the other version says here, now concerning virgins.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't young women, but they were particularly virgins. And he said, I do not have a command from the Lord, but I am given an opinion as one shown mercy by the Lord to be able to do that. So now 8:1 says, now concerning food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffed up, but love builds. Knowledge puffed up, but love builds up. And then we see
11 and 2.
Yeah, and then we see 11 and 2.
2 says, I am so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you are following the teachings I passed on to you. Amen.
They did some good there.
Exactly. And 12 and 1 says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Okay, that's 12 and 1.
And then 16
and 1 says, now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia.
Right, right. So the three divisions of 1 Corinthians are, one, the answers to Chloe's report of the divisions. Two, the answer to report of fornication. And three, answers to the letter of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is the answer to Chloe's report of division, which is chapters
1 through 4.
It says personality cult centering around Paul, Apollo, and Peter have led to division and false pride among the Corinthians, okay, which is all in chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
It is not their wisdom or cleverness that has brought them to Christ, because divine wisdom is contrary to human wisdom. The truth of the gospel is spiritually apprehended.
Mm.
Factions that exist among the saints at Corinth are indications of their spiritual immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
In 3, we see where, that was chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
In 4, we see they should pride themselves in Christ, not in human leaders who are merely his servants.
Mm-hmm.
So, part is a division, right, about between Paul, Apollos, and Peter.
Right.
the second chapter is them thinking that they got all this wisdom from the for themselves, where mm-hmm. it is not their wisdom or cleverness that has brought them to Christ, because divine wisdom is contrary to human wisdom.
Right.
So they needed to know that everything is a result of Christ, and the truth of the gospel is spiritually apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
And then in chapter 3, these are the factions that exist among the saints at Corinth are indications of their spiritual immaturity. So as they have these different, you know, this one says Apollo, this one believes in Paul, this one believes in Peter, you know,
right.
These are all examples of their spiritual immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fourth chapter, he talks about they should pride themselves in Christ.
Right.
Not in humans who are merely Christ's servant. Don't be talking about, oh, I follow Paul or I follow Apollo. You should be following Christ.
They are not Christ. They're just human beings, servants
right,
of
right.
God. Yeah.
They're servants of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you find a lot of people like that who just, like, they, you know, they go to a particular church because of the pastor. Or
yes.
They love
yeah.
the pastor. And yep. days when the pastor, I know they used to do that comment all the time. I don't know if they used to do it with one of our, the first, you know, where they see who's preaching.
Yes.
And that will be determined whether they go to church or not.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
that
so
is so crazy.
Right. So if so and so is preaching, oh, I ain't going because so and so is preaching. You know. And the whole point. As long as they preach in Jesus, you're going to get a word from the Lord. It don't matter who's preaching it.
Thank you.
But that's people do that. People do that all the time. At least
absolutely.
I know I've heard that. You know,
mm-hmm.
oh, so-and-so preach next Sunday. Oh, I ain't coming. I'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Oh, they can't preach or they can't do this and they can't do that. Well, they able to get a word from the Lord, of course, to you.
Exactly.
But,
you're there for the pastor or you're there to hear the word of God?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
A lot of people don't even know why they go to church. Or you go to church just to see what the women are wearing, or you go to church to hear, oh, well, I don't like that preacher. He doesn't preach the way I want him to preach. It ain't about
mm-hmm.
you. It's about
mm-hmm.
God's word.
Right. Yeah. I remember when my friend had she had met this guy at church,
mm-hmm.
right? And because he, you know, was a new guy coming to church, and he used to come to church like every Sunday.
Yeah.
And so she had met him, and he, not only did he go to church, according to her, he had a pretty good job. He was a working black man, you know, working black man, single.
Yes.
She liked him and he liked her, and they ended up getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, she said, like, immediately, it didn't happen immediately, but she says, after they got married, he, one, stopped going to church, and two, he stopped working. So
what do you expect?
His only motive, and he eventually said it, you know, his only
yes.
motive for going to church was to find himself a good woman.
Oh, my goodness.
He wanted
yeah,
to find
a lot of them do that, even the women.
A church
they go to church to find themselves a good husband.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, we should, because we have to be equally yoked, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, the word said to be equally yoked at house, you're going to find somebody who's equally yoked with you unless you know that they go to church.
Right.
But your motive can't be just that.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Your motive has to be you go to church to know Christ.
Thank
and in
you.
The meantime, you know, through prayer and supplication, you will find yourself a husband there
mm-hmm.
or a wife there. But
yeah, yes.
You know, it doesn't work the other way where you just go to just
a lot of
so
people think it works
somebody.
That way. They
yeah.
really do. I mean, like, come on. You met the woman, you got married, then you're going to turn around and quit your job, and then no, it don't work like that. You expecting the wife to take care of you? No.
Mm-hmm.
You supposed to be taking care of her, not the other
right.
way around.
Yeah, she was so sick,
right.
and of course she didn't end up getting divorced quickly.
Of course.
She was like, oh, no.
From the time he quit his job, and I was like, what's this? You're not going back to work? No? Okay,
yeah.
That's it. I'm gone.
That's it. It's over.
No.
You
man that I got to take care of? No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So,
I don't know what he was
yeah.
thinking.
Right. But it's so funny because now he's older. Like, she passed away, my
oh,
friend. But
sorry,
he's like the greatest dad ever because, you know, she had a child by him. And he was always, even though all that happened, you
mm-hmm.
know, he was always very, very good with his daughter. He was always very close with her and stuff like that, and she always loved her father. But that was like insane when she told me that you know how they end up breaking up and all that he had did. I said, oh my god, that's so
yeah.
horrible. But it happens.
Yeah, but it happens even to the best of us.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So answer to report of fornication, and that's in chapters 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
The next problem Paul addresses is that of incest between members of the church and between a member of the church and his stepmother.
Oh,
so
no.
That's five. So let's just read chapter 5.
Whoa. Okay. Disorder in the church. Paul condemns spiritual pride. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. And you should be remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit, and as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself
will be saved on the day of the Lord's return. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Absolutely. Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulge in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worship idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. Wow.
Whoa.
Paul was like, woo, hush.
That would be the whole daggone church.
Exactly.
The church of today.
Oh, my goodness. You know today's church would,
they
would have to close down the church.
Yep. We got married pastors having affairs and babies and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
So that would just be the whole church would have to close down.
I'm telling you. Wow, boy. Paul just put it all out there. Now, but he said he's not judging. But you telling the church what to do with that person?
No, he said you can't. He said he could never judge. He said he can't judge. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders.
Okay.
But it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those.
Right.
But as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. So he's
otherwise he's going to bring more evil into the church.
Right.
If they don't remove him.
Yeah. And like I say, we would have to remove everybody.
Absolutely.
Mostly everybody in the church, because it's just, mean, it's just...
We know. Absolutely.
So, goes on to say that the Corinthians have exercised no church discipline in this matter, and Paul orders them to remove the offender from their fellowship until he repents. Another source of poor testimony is the legal action of believers against believers in a civil court. And that's,
six, one to eight. Mm-hmm.
Avoiding lawsuits with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If
right.
you have legal disputes, matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church?
Mm-hmm.
I am saying this to shame you.
Wow.
I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers? Even to have such lawsuit with one another is a defeat for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that?
Oh, no.
Why not let yourselves be cheated? Let me read this again. Even to have such a lawsuit with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves cheat it? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers.
Mm-mm.
Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fool. Oh, I went beyond eight. Well, definitely I read the whole thing. But anyway,
yes.
We got to read to 20 anyway. Okay, so to eight, that was the court. So now he says, they must learn to arbitrate their differences within the Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
Paul concludes this section with a warning against immorality in general. So he says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't
yep.
fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery
mm-hmm.
or are male prostitutes
mm-hmm.
or practice homosexuality
mm-hmm.
or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
Some of you were once like that, but you were clean.
Mm-hmm.
You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So you say, I am allowed to do anything,
mm-hmm.
but not everything is good for you.
That's right.
And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true. So someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And God will raise us from the dead by his power.
Yes.
Just as he raised our Lord from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never.
Nope.
And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her?
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture says, the two are united into one. But the person who joins, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Mm-hmm.
Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Who lives in you and mm-hmm. was given to you by God.
Amen.
You do not belong to yourself.
To yourself.
But God brought you with a high price.
Yes, he did.
So you must honor God with mm-hmm. your body.
Amen.
Woo.
Ooh, yeah, I tell you, boy, Paul just, like, put it out there. Now you can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
That is it. Plain and simple.
Absolutely.
Plain and simple. So answers to letter of questions, which is chapters 7 through 16. We won't be able to get through all this today, but we're going to do, in these chapters, the Apostle Paul gives authoritative answers to thorny questions raised. First counsel concerns the issue of marriage, celibacy, divorce, and remarriage. So that is 7.
Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
No, chapter 7 is long.
Long, yes.
Oh, yeah. No, we wouldn't have time to read the whole chapter.
Yeah, so we'll wait.
Because it's 7:50 now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll stop at answer to where we just started, answer to.
Right, answer to letter of questions. We'll be.
And then it'll go right on into 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
So the Corinthians and the Corinne are two different sets of people.
No.
Oh, they're the same.
Corinth is the place. It's like it's like being you're from South Carolina is the place, but South Carolinians are the people.
Okay,
right. Just like the place is Corinth, but
mm-hmm.
Corinthians are the people that live in Corinth.
Okay,
it's the same thing like we live in New York, but we're considered New Yorkers.
Right. Right.
Because
at first, I thought he was talking about two different sets of people. Because, he was, like, talking to the Corinth and then Corinthians. So I was saying, like, are they the same or are they two sets of people? But now that you explained it, that Corinthians are the people, and Corinne is the city.
It's
or the
city,
country,
right?
Or
in the beginning, he was like, "You can't take the Corinth out of the church." Meaning the the like the ghetto. They brought church in with them. They brought, you know, they brought their bad habits
from
the country.
And when they do that, they just corrupt the whole church.
Right, right.
Boy, yeah, I tell you, well, it's the same thing as going on today. Ain't nothing changed. The only thing changed is back then was what? A, D, B, C, and all that. And today we're in a new time. A new era. That's what they call an era.
Era, but people have the same basic
exactly.
Sin is sin.
Yes.
Back then,
sin is sin.
Basic happens now.
Whether it's a little sin or a big sin, it's still sin.
Right. Drunkenness, all them things still happen today.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You don't hear the people on the news, they saying that, oh, they're so glad that the marijuana, medical marijuana is in their home and town, that, you know, they've been voting for that for a long time. So I'm saying, like, okay, so you mean all these people was buying illegal marijuana before they made it legal?
Yes, Silda.
Wow.
Up until this point, marijuana was illegal. People went to jail for smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Especially black people were locked up for having one, locked up for over, you know, they were locking up people for 25 years just because they had a joint on them.
Wow.
So prior to now, you got arrested for smoking marijuana and having marijuana on. So now it's legal. And, I mean, it's like alcohol. You know, one time alcohol was illegal. That was when they had the prohibition.
Yeah.
And
but not anymore. Everything that was illegal now becomes legal.
Yeah, except for the hard drugs like heroin and
fentanyl.
That other one they use. Meth,
amphetamine,
cocaine.
Yeah.
Cocaine, those drugs are still illegal. They're going to stay illegal. But
that is crazy, though. I mean, like, what do they really get out of it?
Out of what?
Taking the drugs.
An escape. They escape from reality.
Yeah, but when it wears off, the same thing you were trying to get away from is still there.
And that's why they take more drugs. Just to keep it, to stay high. That's why they want to stay high all the time.
Yeah. So they don't think about the family. They don't think about any of that.
Nope. Just when they're going to get their next fix or who they got to manipulate money from if they're not stealing the money to get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But taking all their money and every time they get a dime, they putting it on, spending it on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they never have money in their pocket. Can never have money in their pocket because money in their pocket.
Not if you got a habit.
Getting more drugs. That's all it means.
Well,
it's usually
2 minutes, so let me pray us out while we're still on air.
Yes.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for all that was said tonight, all that was done. Lord God, we thank you for Paul, who just really put it out there straight as an arrow. Either you take it or you leave it. This is God's word. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for opening up our eyes to see. We're opening up our ears to hear. You know, we're just grateful, Lord God. And we ask that you continue to bless each and every one. Heal those that need to be healed. Touch those that need a touching, Lord God. Wrap your loving arms around them and let them know that everything is going to be all right as long as they continue to believe and have faith in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for life. We thank you for just waking us up this morning to see another day. So many people did not wake up this morning, Lord God. But we were blessed. You saw fit to breathe the breath of life back into our bodies and allow us to another day to do your will, your work, Lord God. Not ours, but yours. And thank you, Lord God, for giving me the strength and the will to get up and go see Mother Wiggins on her 86th birthday, Lord God. Thank you for Lady Nadine for calling me to ask me to come and go with her. Lord God, I am so humble and so appreciative that I got to see Mother again. And now that I know how to get to her, Lord God, I will be visiting her more often. Thank you, Lady Nadine, for showing me the way that I could go and see her. And I just, I'm just so right now full of joy and happiness and just so appreciative of Lady Nadine, Lord God. Continue to bless her. Continue to wrap your loving arms around her, Lord God. Continue
to
heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Continue to allow her to do your will and your way, Lord God. Thank you for her, Lord God. Thank you for all that she do. Thank you for all that she's going to do. We love her so much, Lord God. And we thank you for allowing her to be in our lives to guide us and help us and to learn more and more about you, Lord God. We just love her, Lord God. Thank you. And we ask these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Oh, praise God.
God bless you, Lady.
I receive that. Praise God.
You know how much I love you.
Oh, man,
I truly do. I thank you for everything that you do for me. I am just so appreciative. You're the sister, the oldest, the younger sister that I have. I can always use another sister in Christ.
Yes, absolutely. And you're a sister I don't have. I don't have no sisters.
God knew what he was doing. He don't make mistakes.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
God does not make mistakes. But I love you, and you have a good night. And I'll see you on Saturday.
I'm meeting with our niece right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on Zoom, because I told her 8 o'clock, we have to go over the program for the funeral, so we meeting.
Oh, but you're late.
Yeah, I know. I told her, give me 2 minutes. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Love you.
All right. Love you, too.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.